welcome to GTR Trade Insights. I'm Shannon Manders. I'm GTR's editorial director. Now, in this episode, we are going to be diving deep into the ever-evolving world of trade finance and working capital management. In our conversation today, we're going to be exploring the changing landscape of companies' working capital needs and how banks are adapting their trade and working capital solutions to address these evolving requirements. We'll also touch on some of the benefits of working capital optimization methods, which are equally important as supply chain solutions in terms of being able to drive companies' growth opportunities. And this conversation follows on from a recent article that was published in the annual GTR Plus Supply Chain Finance publication. But joining us today is a true expert in the field. Adeniro Sestari Neto is the Global Head of Trade Product and Structuring at Citi. Adeniro, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Very excited to be here.
So, Adeniro, this is one of the things that we talk about in that article in the Supply Chain Finance publication. What are some of the changes that you're seeing in clients' working capital needs? And how have these requirements evolved over the last few years, particularly post-pandemic, obviously? What challenges do companies continue to face?
So the challenges vary based on complexity, location, and industry, right? But if you take a step back, I think pandemic coupled with geopolitical issues and uncertainties really, really pushed clients to rethink about their supply chain, their inventory management strategy, how to ensure sourcing of critical goods. So all of that has direct implications on the client's working capital needs, on the cash conversion cycle, on the risks they're managing. And that has been the tone over the last years. The usage of payables finance techniques and receivables finance techniques have been increased dramatically, right? Because that was the most efficient way for sure, for you to be able to develop new suppliers, for you to be able to ensure that your suppliers are facing difficult times with more liquidity and with less volatility. And then suddenly you have a shift to a different environment where interest rates spiked 2-3 times higher than it is, depending on the market that you see. Inflationary and in some parts of the economy a more recessionary view, and that changes the dynamics. That's change and really starts to differentiate companies which are able to move fast and really adjust how they're using the different instruments. But I think that what differs good from great in these times is really the ability to use different techniques within the cycle, and that's going to and in such environment that we're living now, that makes a lot of difference, right? Cost of debt, it's a very important consideration for our clients nowadays.
Yeah, interesting. And I guess, as you say, you know, now is a good time to be looking at those trade and working capital solutions if they're not already. So. Let's talk about how the bank has, you know, given in mind these shifts, how the bank has adapted its trade and working capital solutions to address these needs, and maybe just a brief outline of what the bank's offerings are in the space.
Sure, thank you. I think if you look at how the city has evolved, one of the main signs that we're really focusing on working capital, we rebranded our trade business a few years ago from trade to trade and working capital solutions. And the whole theme was just stop looking at our clients and really talking about products and looking at our clients' working capital needs and solutions around it. Right. So, but concretely, we have been investing on a single platform which delivers all the possible channels of working capital solutions integrated for our clients. So when clients engage with us, they are going to see an integrated flow, which ranges from the traditional supply chain finance, completely integrated with dynamic discounting. And then you go to the working capital platform, lending platform, which is offered a truly digital offering that we branded Trade eLoans in our perspective. And then you connect that with receivables finance solutions. So with that, you have the whole set coming from payments ranging into receivables. Also important to connect that the size and complexity of those solutions have enhanced. So it's clearly necessary to connect that with investors and other players. So there was a lot of investment, and only able with the technology that we have nowadays that we connect more than 100 active investors to our platforms to be able to distribute thousands of invoices and assets on a daily basis, allowing our clients to expand their programs and solutions, and allow the clients also to bring other relationship banks and players to the solution that we are struggling together.
Yeah, and actually that's a really good point. Our listeners should know that we've done a range of articles with Citi over the course of the last year that looks at all of these, you know, new dimensions and that focuses on the future of. So we did one on the future of trade finance. We did one on the future of digital trade. So that's something that people should go and check out. But so coming back to Citi's offerings, can you give us a bit of a hint in terms of some of the standout deals or developments that have occurred within, you know, Citi's receivables finance and trade and working capital loan solutions?
Sure, yeah, definitely. Very exciting times for receivables finance, right? I think as I mentioned, as the challenge evolves, the size of the solutions evolve as well, and our clients really embrace it, the concept of portfolio finance. What do I mean? When you approach a client looking at their cash flows and willing to optimize their cash flows and anticipate receivables to really match and reduce their whole overall cash operating cycle, they could do that on a single name basis, and they look to anticipate receivable from one counterparty, or what is the trend now and what we're really have been able to execute across several industries. But there is great examples across agrochemicals that we do across emerging markets and developing markets, as it's where you aggregated a pool of counterparties and we approve the deal based on that portfolio of counterparties. That has a meaningful importance for the client, because it brings diversification to that solution, and it brings scale, and you can even diversify geography. And with that, brings efficiency in terms of cost, and brings more importantly sustainability, because that portfolio is going to change certainly much more smoother than when you talk about a single credit, which may change dramatically. Right. So, and again, I think we have great deals executed on the agrochemical side, the tech distribution side, which is it's been used intensively for those clients to incentivize the terms and conditions to their distribution channel and clients, while reducing the impact on their working capital cycle. On the loan side, we're very proud of having developed what we believe is it's one of the best solutions of digitizing what used to be a very, very traditional process of clients coming and signing promissory notes and loans, on a way that now all the offering and all the experience to really borrow short-term working capital loans for your working capital needs is done through a completely digital experience, again, integrated on our global Citi portal.
Brilliant. Thanks, Antonio. And I would also just say that we deep dive into a couple of these names in the article, in the written article. So people should go and check it out. Another thing that we talk about in the article is the equal importance of working capital optimization and supply chain finance, which you've already alluded to already. But so why do you think companies should be ideally embracing, both of these in their strategies?
There is so much you can achieve in terms of optimizing your ratios or your working capital ratios using supply chain finance, right? So there is going to be a limitation of how much you are going to be able to impose tenors to your suppliers and the size of those programs. And again, if you are not able to look on how you are managing your the level of debt and excess cash, and really using tools to convert and match your receivables profiles with your cash needs on an environment where interest rates are high, there are going to be tax implications and costs, which is going to differentiate our winners and losers on our view when investors are looking at this. So we have a lot of analysis in the bank that's a very clear connection that the shorter your cash conversion cycle is, more free cash flow you have, and that is a direct connection to the companies which outperform the market.
Yeah, thanks, Adeniro. So just to conclude, this article looks at the future of working capital, that's the title, but how do you see the future of working capital unfolding? And what do you think companies should be thinking about now as we, head towards the end of 2023 and start thinking about next year?
Yeah, I see a world where digital is king, and where clients are going to be online, and that's happening now with some of the tools being launched in the market now, where you can benchmark yourself online basis and simulate working capital solution strategies on the fly and really take actions which are going to trigger actions with the bank and with your counterparties. So much more dynamic in a way to respond quickly to the volatile environment that I think is going to continue to go on. We believe that's going to be important to have solutions and inject money earlier on the supply chain or more on your distribution chains. And ESG is a key component that everyone is focused on and is going to be an increased focus from the financial institutions and from our clients on terms of sustainability of the entire supply chain and the incentives to that. And as we are seeing a big trend in the largest economies, including in emerging markets, is for more information and transparency. So it's very important to have in mind on what type of structures you are doing and how that is going to be seen by your investors and stakeholders.
Yeah. So the time to act and to have these conversations is now. Adeniro, thank you very much for sharing your views with us today. I think that's been really interesting and certainly very valuable to our listeners and to the trade community. And yeah, I would just conclude by saying that everybody should check out the article in the GTR Plus SEF publication, because it also includes the views of some of your colleagues in this space. Thank you, Adeniro. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to talk about this subject.